Mincha Belula writes at the end of Parshas Vezos HaBracha that there are many connections between Moshe Rabbeinu and Mordechai HaTzadik, who we'll read about in the coming days. And he notes that Moshe Rabbeinu led the Jewish people during the first Kabbalah HaTorah by Har Sinai, and Mordechai HaTzadik led the Jewish people by the second Kabbalah HaTorah of Kimu V'Kiblu. And that was one connection on its own. In addition, the Radal writes in the Pirkei Zohar B'Yezer that Mordechai has the Bechina of Moshe Rabbeinu in his generation. Just like there was a Moshe Rabbeinu in the Dor HaMidbar, so too there was a Mordechai in his generation in Shushan. By Haman there was a Gzeira of Lechal Osam, and by Moshe there was a Gzeira of Lechal Osam Me'al Pnei Adama. Similar ideas. Both were destined to be wiped out, and Moshe and Mordechai came to save the day. There's a comment of the Medrash Rabbah in Esther that says that Mordechai was the same in his generation as Moshe was in his generation. Mordechai is called Ish Yehudi. Moshe is called V'ha'ish Moshe Anav Me'od. Both are referred to as Ish. There are so many parallels between Mordechai and Moshe. Moshe taught the Jews Torah. Mordechai taught the Jews Torah. And Rav Yonasan Aibishus writes in the Yeros Tavash and Drush Gimel, and the Chidah as well in the Nachla Kedumim, that Mordechai was a Gilgal of Moshe Rabbeinu, bringing it all together. But there is a remarkable comment in the Kitzur Alshech that really brings together the relationship of Moshe and Mordechai. Now, just a few comments about the Kitzur Alshech. We have all heard of Rav Moshe Alshech, the famed Darshan of Tzfas. The Ketzah HaMata writes in the Parish of the Matzah Ephraim that the Alshech was the Darshan, was the Rav in Tzfas, and he was the Talmud of Rav Yosef Karo and the Arizal. Nevertheless, when the Alshech came to speak in front of the shul, his Rebbeim, Rav Yosef Karo and the Arizal, would go hear the Alshech's speech. That's how much they valued the Alshech's Torah. That's how they held him in esteem, that his Rebbeim came to listen to him speak. Now that's a very nice introduction, because what we're about to quote from has nothing to do with the Alshech. The Kitzur Alshech was published a number of centuries after the Alshech lived, a number of centuries ago. It is unclear what the Kitzur Alshech came to accomplish. It's essentially a summary of the Torah of the Alshech on the Chumash and his Perish on the Megillus. But there is a comment in the Kitzur Alshech that does not appear in the greater work of the Alshech HaKadosh himself. And this comment is even more unique because the author of the Kitzur Alshech quotes the Ralbag, the famed Rishon. And we do not have this anywhere in the writings of the Ralbag. Let me tell you and read to you what he quotes b'shem the Ralbag. Kosev shemordechai tikein lehem liyisrael sheyisnu b'purim matanos lavyona. We know from the end of the Megillah in the ninth parak that Mordechai established that we have the reading of the Megillah, mishloach manos, and gifts for the poor. D.E. says, the Medrash says, Shaliyahu Hanavi ba'eitz el Moshe Rabbeinu v'sipur lo agzeros haman, that Eliyahu Hanavi came before the Avos, and he went from one to one, and finally got to Moshe Rabbeinu, and he said, Moshe Rabbeinu, please help us. What are we supposed to do? Haman's going to destroy the Jewish people. We need help. There's a conversation that ensues in the Medrash. Moshe asks Eliyahu Hanavi, was the gzera, was it written in blood or was it written in ceramic or clay? Because if it was written in blood, that means it cannot be changed in Shemayim. But if the Gzeira was signed only in clay or ceramic, then it can be undone. And Eliyahu HaNavi says it wasn't in blood, it was in the ceramic. There's a famous Maisa from different stories brought either B'Shem the Vilna Gaon or Rechaim Melazhin or Eliyahu HaNavi himself regarding this idea. How did they know that the Gzeira, that the stamp in Shemayim wasn't sealed in blood, it was only sealed in clay? Because it says in the Pasuk, Ula of Dam, that he went to destroy them. Ula of Dam. Ula of Dam, when you put a space in between the word, is Velo Bedam. The Gzeira was not in Dam. And that's how they know. When Rechaim Velazhin heard this from an Ani, from a poor person who was collecting on Purim, he was so mispal, so overwhelmed by this drasha, that he went and told the Vilna Gaon, and the Vilna Gaon told him that the Ani must have been Eliyahu HaNavi to say such a Dvar Torah like that. So the Medrash continues and says that after everything was done, so Moshe said, Yesh Eza Ba'olam Shishtatef Imo B'Tfilah, can somebody in the world, in this world, come and combine with me in my Tfilos, and we can take Tfilos in Olam Hazab and the Tfilos of Olam Haba, and maybe together they can work and break this terrible decree? So Eliyahu HaNavi says, Yesh Tzadik Echad Mordechai Shmo. There's a man, his name is Mordechai, he's a big tzaddik. So V'amar Moshe Elio, Shiyamar Shlom Mordechai Shispal. So Moshe said to Eliyahu HaNavi, go tell this man Mordechai, he should go and daven, and together will save the Jewish people. Vayedei tefila shnehem, says the Kitzur Ashech b'shem l'Ralbag. Haisa geula, from the combination of Moshe and Mordechai. Their coming together was more than just their names and the times they lived, but they worked together as a team to work and to break the gzeirin shemayim. Al kein tikein Mordechai. Listen to this. Therefore, Mordechai HaTzadik established a fund, a mitzvah that would give an aliyah for the neshama Moshe Rabbeinu. Shebachal shana b'purim yitnu tztaka umatanos lavyonim over nishmas Moshe. The reason we give Matanos Lavyonim, the reason we give Tzedakah V'Purim, is that we should have an Aliyah Neshama for Moshe Rabbeinu. Everyone's Neshama needs an Aliyah. People give Tzedakah in memory of their parents, their grandparents, relatives, whatever it may be. And so too, whenever you give Tzedakah to someone on Purim, it is for the Neshama and for the merit of the Neshama of Moshe Rabbeinu. And therefore, says the Kitzur Alshech, B'Shem L'Ralbag, this is where the mitzvah of Matanos Lavyonim comes into play, and this is our connection to Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, there's a sefer called Kuntras Binyani Yimei Chanukah V'Yimei Purim, written by Rav Henoch Karelenstein. Rav Karelenstein was a young Talmid Chacham in Bnei Brak, who unfortunately passed away at the young age at 42. But his svarim are beautiful, and he quotes from all different types of sources, all different types of backgrounds. And Rav Karelenstein makes the following note about the Medrash and the idea from the Rabbag that we just says. He says, the idea of doing something or acting in a way that gives an aliyah to the neshama. We have all done things for the neshama of people that have passed away that we love. The whole idea is really about when the living walk in the ways and the path of the person who has passed away, and to follow the positive actions of that person. That is the best thing you can do for neshama. To take their meaning and their life and what they represent, and to bring that into your own life, and to act like those people. This is found in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. Says Rosh Shlomo Gansprin in Simen Chaf Vav. V'af al pi sha'amiras ha'kaddish v'hatfilos mo'ilyos l'ha'avos. Even though it's very good, that kaddish and davening for the amud and all these things are very nice. Mikol makom ein elu ha'ikar. Davening for the amud and saying kaddish is not what it's about. People get very tense sometimes. They're going to miss a kaddish. They don't get the amud. There's machlokas sometimes. Says the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, relax. Those things are good, and they're nice. But that's not what it's all about. Eloha ikrhu shehabanim yelchu ba'orach mishor. The main thing is that the children and the people that knew this person walk in their proper path. Ki bazeh heimaskir mes avos. Because this is how you give a remembrance for those who pass. By having good midos. Being a nice person. That's the best thing you can do for the neshama. And by acting in the way of Moshe Rabbeinu, and from learning from the ways of Moshe Rabbeinu, and mimicking his actions, we can give the greatest aliyah for the neshama of Moshe, our teacher. And then Rav Karelenstein cites from the famed Mashkiach Rav Dan Segel, who draws out two important points, the second of which I'd like to elaborate upon. The first point, he says, is that we see that even we can do something for the neshama of Moshe Rabbeinu. Who would have thought? I can go do something for Moshe Rabbeinu? I owe everything in the world to Moshe Rabbeinu. The Torah, our midos, everything we have comes from Moshe Rabbeinu. And I can do something for Moshe Rabbeinu's neshama? That's wild, says Rav Dan Segel. Even though we say, Lo kam b'Yisrael k'Moshe od, we can do something for Moshe. Now, this is in distinction to people who think, what can I do for a great tzaddik? What can I do for Rav Moshe Feinstein? What can I do for Shlomo Zalman Auerbach? These people are out of my league. I could do nothing to help them. But no, we can do something. We can give tzedakah. We can walk in their ways. We can learn from them, read their stories, live their lives in the way that they also live their lives, and build up ourselves with midos tovos and parapra shkafos and libra Torah. That's what we can do for great neshamos who pass on. And this is based on the idea that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is Ein Sof. A Kadosh Baruch Hu is endless. We think that Moshe Rabbeinu is so great. I'd like to tell everyone, Hashem is greater. As great as we think Moshe Rabbeinu is, the Kadosh Baruch Hu is that much greater than everyone else. And therefore, this is what it says in the Gemara Moi Katan Daf Chav Tes. Talmidei Chachamim Ein Lehem Menucha. Talmidei Chachamim who pass away have no rest. Not in Olam Hazeh, and even in Olam Hava. Shneamar. Yelchu Mechayel El Chayel Yireh El Elohim B'tzion. What does it mean when we say that the Neshama goes Mechayel El Chayel? It goes from strength to strength. What's going on? Because every single time you go to a shir and learn Torah and have good midos and control your Yetzirah and do the right thing, because this person inspired you to act that way, that neshama is going up one more notch from Shemayim, one more level, getting closer to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, Tzadikim, who taught us so much, Moshe Rabbeinu, who taught us so much, every single time we do something in the matter of Moshe Rabbeinu, his neshama is flying further and further. There's no ceiling because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Ein Sof. There's no end to what Moshe Rabbeinu can go and can accomplish in the next world because of what we do for his neshama in this world. That's point number one from Rav Dan Segal. Point number two is the idea that what is Matanos Avyonim? It is a few dollars. The mitzvah of Matanos Avyonim is enough to pay for someone's suda. That's a very small amount. A challah, a thing of grape juice, that's all. It's a few dollars in order to fulfill the mitzvah. But what do we see from this? For a few dollars, for a little bit of money, money that you have in your wallet right now, most likely, that is enough to give an aliyah for the neshama of someone else. We don't fully understand the value of small actions, of small things. Small things, small details, paying careful attention to how we treat other people, to what we give, how we daven, those things that often we take for granted have huge impacts and major returns in this world and the next world. Only in Shemayim does the Kadosh Baruch Hu calculate and weigh everything we do. Not even the smallest deed goes unnoticed. The Pasuk in Daniel says that in the days of Mashiach, umitzadike harabim kochavim le'olam vo'ed. In the days of Mashiach, those who turn to righteousness will be like stars forever and ever. Why? Why will they be like stars? We could have thought of anything to compare people. Why do we compare the great tzaddikim to stars? Because how do stars work? From far away, they're very small. They're insignificant. You can't tell a star. Does it really have an impact on your night? There's so much light pollution nowadays. I live near JFK. I've not seen a star in weeks, let alone months. I can't see anything at night because JFK Airport lights up the entire night. Do stars really play that big a deal? We'd be just fine if we didn't see any stars at night. I mean, maybe aesthetically, emotionally, it would be nice to see stars and to be inspired by a dark sky. But at the end of the day, we're doing just fine not seeing any stars at night. But that's the point. Even though stars are so far away and so small, we are all aware of the energy that a star has. It is a very powerful being. It carries tremendous amounts of potential. And that's the same thing. Tzaddikim are measured by their stars. Very small actions that are in turn extremely powerful. I'd like to now bring this back to Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu, who we now know we have a great impact on with our small actions, I would like to posit that Moshe Rabbeinu is the Rebbe of small actions. There is no greater teacher in our history about how important small actions are than Moshe Rabbeinu. I think that's why we give tzedakah, this small amount. Mordechai didn't say everyone needs to learn all of Shas on Purim. That's not what he said. Mordechai didn't say we have to go and spend all Purim doing back-breaking chesed and building homes for people who don't have a place to live. Mordechai said a few dollars is enough for the neshama of Moshe Rabbeinu. Why is this the case? So says Rav Chaim Friedlander, the famed Mashgiach of Panovich, the Talmud of Rav Dessler, in his Sisei Chaim on Parshas Shmos. And he says we also often make the mistake of evaluating others and ourselves based on big, noticeable actions. That's how we judge the world. This person gave a building and his name was this big on the building. This person learned this much. This person accomplished this much and he did this big a thing. This is how we often judge ourselves and those around us. But it's not the large checks and it's not the flashy public displays of chesed that make a person great. It is the small, day-to-day actions that really turn a person into a great human being. I'd like to quote two midrashim that appear back-to-back in the Shmos Rabbah. U'moshe hayiro'eh, Moshe was a shepherd, as we all know. Ein kadosh baruch hu nosein gedul yadam ad shebot kuhu bedavar katan. Says the Medrash, Hashem does not make a person great unless he first tests him with a small thing. V'yachachach ma'alei l'gedula, and then Hashem will make him great. Harei l'cha shnei gedoli olam, says the Medrash. I will give you not one, but two gedolim who did small things, and Hashem tested them with a small thing, and then raised them a gedula. Then the Medrash begins to discuss David HaMelech. David HaMelech was a shepherd. His brothers used to make fun of him. He was irresponsible. He wasn't good at his shepherding. And they always said he's out in the wilderness and he's taking care of the shepherds. And we see, but at the end of the day, Hashem saw how careful David was about taking care of the sheep, and he was raised to Gedula. Then comes the second example. V'chein Moshe haya omer, v'yinog es hatzon achar hamidbar, v'otzien min hagezel. Moshe would go and take the sheep out to the desert. Why go out to the desert? Because he didn't want the sheep stealing from other people and eating other people's land. And because he was a good shepherd, he took care of animals well. Not necessarily the sign for leadership that we would think, but Hashem said, that's exactly what I need. I need a person who has responsibility on a small level, because responsibility on a small level will translate into responsibility on a great level. And then the Medrash continues. Ulami bochin le tzaddik. Who tests a tzaddik? Hashem tests a tzaddik. And it talks about David again. And then it says, by Moshe Rabbeinu, that Moshe, how did he get to the snare? There was a sheep that had run away. We're familiar with the story. There's a sheep that had run away, and it ran towards the thicket. And when it got to the thicket, Moshe noticed that there was water nearby. And he saw that the sheep was very thirsty. And he gave the sheep what to drink. And then Moshe picked up the sheep and carried him back to where the rest of the sheep were. Lo and behold, Hashem appears to them, a burning bush, and the rest is history. So the answer is clear, says the Medrash. Why over there? What's going on? What happened at this moment that Hashem saw that this was the opening for Moshe Rabbeinu to greatness? Moshe was not picked after attending a leadership seminar. He was not picked after giving a great speech. We know he was kaved peh. He was not a great speaker. And it was not for any other reason, because he was nice to sheep. That's it. All that Moshe Rabbeinu did to become leader of the Jewish people was that he was nice to sheep. We go to zoos all the time. Are we nice to the sheep? Most of the kids are torturing the sheep. Are we nice to the sheep? Moshe Rabbeinu was chosen because he was nice to sheep. It was an indication of his ability to care for others, to be nosei ba'olim chavero. Rashi tells us, vayar b'sivlosam. Moshe went out to see their pain. Nasan eina velibo lehios miyetzer aleihem. He went out to feel their pain, to deal with them. Did he do anything at the end of the day? In distinction to what is shown in the movie The Ten Commandments, we know of nothing that Moshe Rabbeinu did. He just went to feel their pain. He just wanted to know how another person feels. And that was enough for Moshe to be made the leader of the Jewish people. Small things put Moshe Rabbeinu in the right spot. The altar of Kelm wonders, why it took so long for Moshe to show his leadership credentials? Didn't he already go out to be Nosavim Chavero? Didn't he kill the Mitzri who was beating another Jew? That wasn't enough for Hashem to reveal himself to him. So he explains that big actions don't tell you about a person. How a person acts in public and displays himself in a big, flashy way tells you nothing about that person as a human being, says the altar of Kelm. We all know that this person who does things in public, it could be because he was in a public fashion. He wanted the esteem, whether he admitted it or not. Things done in a public way are often done because of public accolades and public noticement and the feeling they get from other people. But even things that are sometimes done where there's not so many people around, people might do extraordinary things in private. Why? Because they know that if I'm extraordinary, it'll make me feel better about myself. I'm going to do this tremendous chesed. No one will know about it, but I know that I did it. And that also, says the Altar of Kelm, doesn't tell us anything about the person. Whether a person does extraordinary things in public or in private teaches us nothing about the character, the fabric, the metal of such a person. But says the Altar of Kelm, you know what teaches us about a person? You know what shows us what a person is really about? Day in, day out. The korban tamen in the Beis HaMikdash, the same korban every day with consistency, no breaks. That is how you know what a person is about. If he does the same thing all the time, whether no one is looking, it's not a big thing, it's not a flashy thing, it's not getting written up in any newspapers, it's not going on any websites. Small things, says the Altar of Kelm, is what makes a person a great person, to be a good citizen in public and in private. And this is the idea, the importance of small things. Rav Yisrael Salanter was once told about a hidden tzaddik, a tzaddik who kept to himself a tzaddik who did tremendous things in chesed in his own midos, but no one knew about it. And one of the talmidim of Rabbi Saul Salanter discovered this tzaddik. He saw him acting in ways, this person is a special person, but no one knows about it. He is maybe very simple in public. He doesn't display his righteousness. So they went to Rabbi Saul Salanter and asked, we should tell people about him. People should know it's a tzaddik. They'll go to him for brachos, and they'll ask him types of questions. He'll become a rav and a well-known tzaddik, and this will be good for the Jewish people, that people have access to such a tzaddik. So Rabbi Yisrael looked at the Talmud and said, I don't know if it's such a good idea. Because this person, it could be that he's such a tzaddik because he holds himself to be a tzaddik nister. Part of what's pushing him, and this is part of human psychology, is that if a person knows that what I'm doing makes me special, it's out of the ordinary. To be a hidden tzaddik, that's a big thing. And it's pushing him to be something special. And therefore Yisrael said, if we tell people about his tzidkus and what he does, then what is he going to say? It's not worth it anymore. It was good because I was a hidden tzaddik. But now that everybody knows about me, and everyone's going to come to me, so then it's going to take away some of the flash, some of the excitement of my tzidkus. And therefore Yisrael said better to not tell anyone about it. Because that's not how we judge people in their great tzidkus. We judge people, says Yisrael, how they act consistently day in and day out. We can see here where Moshe also learned this from. Moshe did not pick this up by himself, but like any good boy, he got it from his parents. Where do we see this? Because when Paro tells the Mialdos, the maidservants, the midwives, to go and to kill the Jewish boys, what happens? They don't do it, right? And then we're introduced to two very important women in the history of the Jewish people. Shifra and Pua. Rashi tells us that Shifra and Pua were in fact Yocheved and Miriam. But they were named in the Torah not by their given names, but how they treated children. Either they said Pua, they calmed the child down, or they were Meshupar, they made the child beautiful, they washed the child off and made the child great. Excuse me. They made the child clean after it was born. Small things that every mother does for their child. Right? Every mother makes sure their children are clean. Every mother and every father wants to calm down the child. These are things that happen all the time. Now, Shifra and Pua, Yocheved and Miriam, what did they do? They risked their lives to save Jewish children. They went against Paro, the biggest Rasha at that time, in the face of danger, looking into the lion's mouth. They said, no, we're not going to do it. We're going to stand for what's right. We're going to have Yerushalayim, and we're not going to kill innocent children. And now, what does the Torah praise them as? What's their great namesake? Shifra and Pua, that they changed diapers and they put a patsy in the baby's mouth. This is what they're being known for. How is that possible? How is it that after doing all of these things, we ignore the Hatzalas Nefashos of Shifra and Pua, and all Rashi can focus on is that they change diapers and they calm the baby down? So the answer is clear. Because many people, when they were put in that situation, would also have saved Jewish children. I would hope that everyone in this room, when put in a situation to save a Jewish child, would also put their lives on the line to save such a precious commodity. Many people, when they're put in situations where it's do or die, where if I don't do this, no one else is going to step up, when the adrenaline starts pumping and they feel that I need to be in this place, but makom she'anashim, a person needs to be an ish, a person needs to stand up or no one else is helping out, so they stand up to the challenge. Even people who are not so great can do great things. Doing something that's above and beyond, something that's spectacular, doesn't teach us about the humanity of this person. There are countless stories in Tanakh and in the Gemara of Rishayim who turned themselves around and did great things. We're familiar with Menashe, who was one of the worst kings in the history of the Jewish people. A terrible Rasha. And he did tshuva at the end of the day. And he said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved me and Hashem saved him. There are big Rishayim who do great things. It is all over our history. And they step up and they do the right thing. The Medrash tells us in Brachos about Yosef Meshisa, who was a terrible Rasha. He was a person who stole, and the Romans took him, and they wanted him to go into the Beis HaMikdash and to take something out for them. And at the end of the day, he went in once, but he refused to go back again, and he died on Kiddush Hashem. Yosef Meshisa was not a good person, but at the end of the day, he did the right thing, and therefore his name is known throughout Jewish history for the Kiddush Hashem he made. But it doesn't tell us about his inner personality. So say the Mefarshim, and say over here as well, why are we talking about Shifra and Pua and not talking about the Hatzalas Nefashas they did? Because from the Midos of Shifra and Pua, every single day, we know that they were good people. That's what tells us about Miriam and Yocheved. That Miriam and Yocheved went to look after their son and their brother while he's floating in the Nile. They wanted to make sure he had a good nurse and a good person to take care of them. Those small things tell us what Shifra and Pua are about. The Tzalas Nefashos, many people would have been Matzal Nefashos for Klal Yisrael. It's happened. We have a history of people being Moser Nefesh and giving their lives to the Jewish people. But to be a good person every single day for 120 years, it's clear now where Moshe Rabbeinu got it from. Where did Moshe see the value in being a good person all the time, all the details, the small things? Because he got it from his mother, like any good Jewish boy. And this is a clear message for us as well. Let's move now to another story. Rabbi Chanina ben Tarajon. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah Yudches talks about Rav Yossi ben Kisma when he fell sick, and his student Rabbi Chanina ben Tarajon visited him. And the Rebbe said to his student, I hear you've been causing trouble. You've been causing trouble for Klal Yisrael. So Rabbi Chanina ben Tarajon said, what do you mean? He said, I hear you've been teaching Torah publicly when the Romans put a death penalty on such actions. What, you're going to get yourself killed. What's wrong with you? So Rabbi Chanina ben Tarajon said, no, don't worry about it. Hashem Ya'azor, Hashem will help me. Everything will be okay. So as Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma said, through Ruach HaKodesh, if you have such dedication to Torah, but you're so foolish, at the end of the day you're going to be burnt with the Sefer Torah. And he was right. And that was the end of Rabbi Chanina ben Tarajon. But within that conversation, Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma asked Rabbi Chanina ben Tarajon, oh, you think you're so great. You're going to have such zechuyos. What do you do that you think are so special? What is the great zechus that you've done, the great action you've accomplished that would put you on the pedestal of people that would be able to be Moser Nefesh for Klal Yisrael? So Rabbi Chanina ben Tarajon thought, and he noted that he was once collecting money for Purim. And he mistakenly thought the money he was collecting for Purim was for the regular tzedakah fund, and instead it got mixed up. So what did he do? He took both sums added together, and he gave that amount for Purim, and he gave that amount again for tzedakah, because he was unsure which pot was going to lose out. So, when Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma heard of his student's actions, he said, in an emotional way, I hope that I'll have a chelek in Olam Haba like you. Ad kan the story, end of the Gemara. That is a very strange Gemara. Says Rav Dessler in the Michta Mayon Chelek Gimel, what is going on over here? Rabbi Chanina ben Tarajon is Moser Nefesh for Torah for Klal Yisrael. He puts himself in the line. He's about to be burnt with his Sefer Torah. He sees the letters flying up to Shemayim. We know the story. And all Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma can say is, ah, you gave a little extra tzedakah. Good job. Very important. I wish I had a chelek in Olam Haba like you. So I think by now, we know what the answer is. And the answer is clear. The answer is that Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma understood what makes a person truly great. Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma is the person in Pirkei Avos who was offered millions of dollars to leave his Torah community. He wouldn't give it up because he wanted to stay in the Makom Torah. He understood what was great and what was valuable and was not valuable. He understood the value of Torah, but he also understood that big things, such as risking your life to teach Torah, is not that great in the long run. Small things indicate that the entire being was committed to Avodas Hashem. Big things, as we've explained, are not entirely done for pure motives. There may be a tinge of other motives, kavod, reward, but small things that nobody sees, nobody pays attention to those things. And that's where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is paying attention to us. And thus, it's only through small actions done for the sole purpose of expressing Avodas Hashem that a person can be assured a chelek in Olam Haba. Rav Gershom Leiner was the Radzina Rav. He is more famous as the Baal HaTcheles. In the end of the 19th century, so the Radzina Rav felt that it was time to bring Mashiach, and he wanted to get Tcheles so he could make the clothing for the Kohen Gadol and the Kohanim and the Beis HaMikdash. But at the end of the day, he went to Italy and different places, and what he found was the type of a squid, a type of fish, and a chemist helped him out with it. And to this day, Radziner Chassidim, some Brassavar Chassidim, wear Tcheles from Radziner Rav, the Radziner Tcheles. The problem, as Rav Herzog showed in his doctorate on Tcheles, is that it's most likely not Tcheles, and it could be that the chemist tricked him and added other components to it so that it wouldn't fade away. But he is known most famously as the Baal HaTcheles, the first person to try to bring Tcheles to the forefront. So he writes in his Yisod Yisharim an amazing idea regarding Purim. I was mispal. I was blown away by such a beautiful comment. We know there are tremendous drashos and gematrias and rashi tevos when it comes to Purim. Purim is a time of pilpule Torah and interesting ideas, different gematrias and things of the like. So Radina Rav notes the following thing. We know where the name Purim comes from, right? Pur, it's the lottery that Haman used in order to decide what to do with Jewish people, when to kill them, and how to kill them, all these different methods he used. The lottery to find the date. So there's all different types of discussion. Why do we call it Purim? You just be poor. It was one lottery. Why two? All different types of explanations. And Purim has all different types of connections to Yom HaKippurim, right? The Arizal famously tells, the Gra writes in his parish, and the Tzafra Zizusa, Rav Hudler, picks up on a bunch of Mamarim and the Pacha Yitzchak as well. The idea that Yom Kippur is Yom Kippurim, that Purim has this idea that is above time, beyond the realm of understanding, something special beyond our physical understanding. Says the Radzina Rav, I wanted to share with you a different connection to Purim in the name of Purim. He says, Purim comes from the Lashon of Pirurim. Pirurim are crumbs. Pirurim, right? We have crumbs. I don't want to scare anyone, but we are close to Pesach. And crumbs are certainly going to be on the agenda. But he says, Purim is Milashon Pirurim. Crumbs. Why? Because crumbs on their own have no value. Right? Even when it comes to Pesach, you don't have to clean up crumbs, dirt. It's not chametz. It's going to be washed away. Nothing that a person needs to be worried about. Even when it comes to the laws of bread, we know we give special honor to bread. We're not supposed to throw out bread, but if it's bigger than a kazayas, then we have to treat it with respect. It shouldn't be thrown into the garbage, it should be wrapped up. I'm sure we're familiar with these halachos. Now, when it comes to crumbs, you don't have to be as careful, but, says the Mishabura, if the crumbs are in a bunch together, that on their own, the crumbs make up a kazayas, then we have to be concerned. So pirurim on their own, meaningless. Together to make a kazayas, they are significant. Says the Radzina Rav, Purim is milashon pirurim. Why? Because let's go through the story of the Megillah that we're all familiar with. Each episode on its own, meaningless. There's nothing significant. Esther becomes the queen, and Haman wants to kill the Jews, and Mordechai is by the Shar HaMelech, and he finds out about Bigson and Teresh, and all these details on their own are insignificant, right? Each detail of the Purim story on its own, alone from the rest of the context of the story, has no meaning. It's pirurim, it's crumbs. But at the end of the day, after all 10 chapters of the Megillah are done, you step back from the story, and you put all the pirurim together, you put all of the details together, you're left with something significant. And therefore, Purim is milashon pirurim. It's the story of crumbs. Little pieces that on their own are meaningless, but when put together in one complete story, tell an amazing saga for the Jewish people. Therefore, it says, Leich kedesh kos kol ha-yehudim. Go gather together all the Jewish people. You need to put everything together, says Esther to Mordechai. Everything needs to be put together in context and to save the Jewish people. And we also have pirurim in our lives. We have crumbs, and we have little things that happen throughout the day, and we think they're insignificant. A person comes home at night, he empties his pockets, sits down, he's tired, and he thinks, what did I do today? Another day at the office, another day at work, another day with the kids, the grandkids, but what did I accomplish? But what you have at the end of the day are pirurim. You were polite to the person by the door, and you made all of your brachos properly, and you davened 3 times a day. Little pirurim, little crumbs throughout the day that on their own are meaningless. But if you take all those little things and you pick up all the crumbs, then you're left with a remarkable story that turns seemingly small people into great people. Writing out a check to tzedakah is a big action. And it has a large impact. And it's often noticed and it's acknowledged. But did you give a smile today? Did you smile to the gabbai tzedakah when he was collecting? Those small pirurim, those small crumbs, is what truly tells us about another person. The tzidkus of having such a big and flashy advertisement nowadays, right? We think that when we get an advertisement in the mail from some sukkah or some auction, right? And it's glossy, and there's 50 pages, and it's a trip to Eretz Yisrael, and jewelry, and a new shetel, and all these things. The tzedakah, the tzedakah won't be valued, right, if it doesn't come in a big package. It can't be enough that we're collecting for aniyim. Aniyim, no, that doesn't get enough of my attention. But if it comes in a fancy folder, and there's a big display, and a big event, and it's broadcast live, so then it's worth my time. Big things, we get attracted to. Small things that are important on their own, seemingly, are pirurim that get swept away. And this is the story of us as well. Moshe Rabbeinu was a collector of pirurim. He took all the small things together in order to make a big story. Small people get excited by big things. That'll be point number one. Small people get excited by big things. They get excited by big football games. They get excited by big dinners, over-the-top public acts of chesed. Not that those things don't have a place, but that's not the main thing. People like big and flashy projects, but when it comes to Bein Adam L'Chaveiro or a regular Bein Adam L'Makom, we're not as motivated. Mincha, it's not as exciting. But a big event, an exciting project, that gets our attention. Those are small people excited by big things. But big people are motivated by small things. Big tzaddikim, people who are big in heart and big in midos, are motivated and excited by the small things in life. They pick up a phone when someone needs comfort. They write an email to let someone know how things went, or to give them a yasher koach. They let other people know that they're thinking about them and concerned for them. They take time out of their busy schedule to sit and to play with their children and their grandchildren, and when the child wants, you know, just play a game with me for 10 minutes, they're not too busy. For you, those 10 minutes may seem like you don't have enough time. I have to go over here, I have to take care of this project, this needs to get done. But for your child or your grandchild, those 10 minutes are not small things. Those are the most important 10 minutes in the world. That's what they need. That small thing to you, that crumb that's taking away from your big project and your big time, that's huge for somebody else. Big people are moved and motivated and inspired by small things. And that's Moshe Rabbeinu. They make sure they leave the public location clean when they leave an event. They make sure they're cleaning up the plates. They don't leave any garbage behind. You go to the park. And you stay back a few extra seconds to make sure there's nothing on the ground. That's a big person who took care of a small thing. Again, lessons from Moshe Rabbeinu. History shows this as well. How many isms have the Jewish people lived through? Marxism and communism and Zionism and all different types of isms. These are big ideas meant to change the world. But at the end of the day, where are all these isms? They're in the dustbin of history. But small people do... What?
Not Zionism.
But these isms fall away. They're not, at the end of the day, they're not making the biggest impacts in the world. The most important thing at the end of the day are people day in, day out, keeping Torah, keeping mitzvos. That is what propels the Jewish people through history. Everyday mitzvos, the Sefer HaChinuch writes on the mitzvah of breaking the bones of the Korban Pesach. Why is it that the Torah is so obsessed with details? Enough already! I can't sit over here and I have to stand for this part of davening and I have to eat it this way and I have to eat this much matzah and I have to go over here and I have to impart my after this many times and sit over here. Why is the Torah obsessed with so many details in our lives? So says the Sefer HaChinuch in his most famous fashion, Achar hapulos nimshach halavavos, right? After the actions come our hearts. If a person puts in the details and the time, that makes a person to a great person and moves his heart along as well. This has to do also between our relationship with Hashem and those we love. How is intimacy cultivated in our lives? A husband and wife who don't pay attention to each other throughout the year, but go out for a big anniversary, or he brings home flowers on a big event, but they don't cultivate intimacy on a real level all the time. Speaking at dinner and engaging in conversation, a thoughtful comment to show you are thinking of the other person, small acts of love and gestures to show that you care, that's what builds intimacy. Big events and big parties and big birthdays is not how a relationship is built. Real relationships are built with small, intimate actions that show that you care about another person. That creates true love. Rashi tells us in the beginning of Parshas Ekev, Im ha-mitzvos ha-kalo she'adam dash be'ikvav tishmu'un. Be careful to those mitzvos that people aren't paying attention to. It's not important, what's the big deal? And therefore, says Rashi, pay attention to those, because that's how you work on your marriage with other people and also with Hashem. Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, Bein Adam L'Makom. The small things we do, making sure we're at Minyan all the time, and making sure we are giving that small amount of tzedakah when it is due. You can give big tzedakah also, but making sure that we give small amounts of tzedakah when they're due. Those actions, those small things, is how we connect ourselves to Hashem, and connect ourselves to other people as well. Rabbi Eitan Feiner, the rabbi of the White Shul in Far Rockaway, so he notes in a beautiful fashion that if you look at Gedolim biographies from your favorite publishing house, so then you'll notice that many of the biographies are the same. This Gadol, and this is not to take away from any Gadol Torah, but this Gadol learned this much Torah, and he learned in this yeshiva, and he knew all of Shas, and the biographies are very similar. If you open a 400-page biography, the outline, you probably know the outline of the story from the beginning. There were hardships, and never came then, it was difficult to learn and to teach, and he accomplished. We know the outline of the stories already. So what are they filling these biographies with for 400 pages? So Rabbi Feiner says brilliantly, that know what they're made up of? Little small stories of Gedolim being nice to people. This one was careful that the Almana knew what time it was for Shabbos. This one was careful that the child in Shul knew where the page was. This one made sure that this one got a phone call before Yontif. That is what fills these biographies. Small gestures and small actions. If a person wants to write their own Gadol biography, it is made up of small actions. That's how you write your own personal biography. Small actions and small details of being nice to other people. Isn't a Tahara, isn't a Chevra Kadisha a similar idea? Small actions that are on their own, maybe insignificant. Small actions, small things that nobody's paying attention to. You go over here at night, you leave a family function, you go out for a while, and you come back. Nobody's paying attention. Nobody knows. It's between you and the Nifter and the Ribono Shel Olam. Small things that you may feel are inconsequential, that you may feel are not accomplishing anything. Who's noticing? Someone else will do it. Someone else will go out tonight. I can't. I'm busy. Things are going on. The answer is pirurim. Purim is milashim pirurim. Small crumbs gathered over a lifetime of community service, of service to the klal, of helping people out, write a gadol biography. Maybe it will be published. Maybe it won't. When you come to the Kisei HaKavod with your biography written, filled of the small things you did, and the way you made other people's lives easier, more memorable, with comfort and with compassion and care, with Kedush and Tara, then you'll have a very nice book to hand the Ribono Shel Olam for all the things that you have accomplished in this way. You may not even be aware which members are going out and serve in the Chevra Kedisha. It's a quiet job, as we said. Most Tara is taking place early in the morning or late at night. And most Chevra Kedisha participants working volunteers. But the Chevra Kedisha is a Chevra of big people who see the small things. And they see the importance of small things. It's a collection of people who are so big in Lev and Nefesh, and they see the importance of details and care and doing it right the first time and getting it right all the way through, because it matters, because the details matter from the beginning of the process to the end. They are the Shifram Puas around us who follow in the path of Moshe Rabbeinu. And this is the path of big people who value small things. We should all be Zocha that this should be our last Zayin Nadar without Moshe Rabbeinu. We should join Mashiach in greeting Moshe Rabbeinu by Tchiyas HaMeisim from Hervi Amenu. Amen. Amen.